I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You talk mad stuff before it went down. I'm going to tear it up. Oh, no, I've been waiting for you, baby. Oh, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes.
4 minutes.
I'm at that point right now.
Like, girl, just wait. Just wait till I come back. Wait till I get the get back. Yeah, never around to.
It's Bart and Han Allen on Bart Scott 98.7 ESPN. Bart's in New York. I'm in Portland with the Knicks. The Knicks play the Blazers tonight. Full coverage, of course, on 98.7 ESPN. You won't hear me there, though. John Wallace, who's he's. By the way, John Wallace is on the call. John Wallace, former Knick. Everywhere he goes, everybody knows him. Ty Lue saw him, like started just like lit up when he saw him. Was so happy. Jeff Van Gundy saw him. He was so happy. Like, it's just kind of cool to see.
He's a how goofy react guy. To John like, Wallace. You know what I mean? He's like
he's funny
guy.
As hell. He's got one of the best laughs saying. You'll ever hear.
He's like and one he's of those guys that everybody loves to be around. Like, yeah, I've done some events with him. And he is one of those personalities.
Yeah.
He looks younger than what he is, too.
Yep. Yeah. But I just great storyteller. But he's on the call tonight with Ed Cohen. I'm on MSG Networks for anybody who cares. I'm calling the game with Mike Breen.
Bang! Bang! I hope we don't need
I
want to
get a double bang tonight. I want one.
I hope we don't need a double bang. You know what I mean? That means that we had to do something dramatic. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just want to, you know, workmanlike, kick that ass and get up out of
here. Yeah, I'm with you. This is a team coming back. The Trailblazers were on a 6-game road trip. So they're coming home now for the game. And you know what happens after a road trip? It's like that first game back. It's hard to get yourself, you know, reacclimated. They have not played well. Lillard had a ankle issue, so I don't, you know, see his situation for tonight. But there's some stories, obviously, not just a Lillard to New York thing that has never gone away, even though he keeps shooting it down. He keeps signing these extensions that are keeping him in Portland for, like, another 5 years. But there's the Cam Reddish stuff that I'll get to. We'll get to the bottom of the hour because there's a lot of – we got to reset the Rodgers stuff. But it's stuff that he said that you need to hear because a lot of Knicks fans are really at odds about Reddish and his usage with the Knicks. And so we'll get to that for sure. But it is hour number three of the show. It is Bart and Hunt. And Bart, when it's hour number three and we continue to wait, what's that mean?
It's the Rodgers hour, 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 hour.
You good?
Yeah, I just got excited. Let's get excited.
The Rodgers out. All right, that's new. Now listen, for everybody that saw, now I'll read you the tweet from Russini, Diana Russini. She's been on this report. She's done a really good job with this stuff. She's the one who actually has a lot of really good information. She said that Aaron Rodgers has provided the New York Jets with a wish list of free agents that he would like them to target and acquire. This is according to sources, and the list includes, she said, Randall Cobb. Well, we already heard that one from Shefty. Alan Lazard. Well, Shefty said a little while ago that they were closing in on a deal with him. Mercedes Lewis. Yes, the 38-year-old tight end. And the last name's going to get everybody. Odell Beckham Jr. That's what he'd like. Now, I'm already getting texts. I'm seeing tweets. People are beside themselves like, oh, my God, this guy's so high maintenance. All his demands. Who does he think he is? Why are we getting a 38-year-old tight end? He's just trying to get his friends paid, all this stuff. And you know what? You're right and you're wrong. Now, Bart, I'm going to give you the opportunity as the football expert to explain to everybody why they're wrong about seeing this list and thinking, oh, this is a disaster. Explain it, please.
I mean, because you look at, you know, every quarterback comes in and has a wish list. We look at Tom Brady, Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, guys that he had chemistry with. That's why they led the league in red zone touchdowns, because it's that nuance, it's that nonverbal communication. Also, coming into a new place, You want to have people that can teach the system, which is why Rex, when he came over as the head coach of the Jets, brought me, Marquise Douglas, brought Trevor Price, Jim Leonard, because you need people that when you're sitting in these meetings trying to learn the nuance of a new system, you can talk to the guy that plays your same position. A coordinator doesn't have the time to answer every question for every player on every single install. A player does. And you need some veterans around that can be able to do that. And that's just how football works, right? Being able to have that. And the Jets cleared the space when they got rid of Braxton Berrios to have a spot for a receiver. And Mercedes Lewis, for anybody who talks about Mercedes Lewis is a tackle. But he still can run. It's crazy. He still gets open and helps you on checkouts and checkdowns. But he's a guy that's going to make sure that a 39-year-old quarterback, soon to be 40, is going to stay upright because he gives you extra protection. Because if you want to go with two tight ends, yes, you got Conklin. Yes, you have Uzama. I think they probably would have to maybe consider trying to trade Uzama because Conklin is there. But then Rucker is like the future. You know, they got a lot of high hopes for him, so they don't want to move on from him. But listen, this doesn't mean you sign everybody on that list. This just means these are some guys that I would hope. Now, the toughest one to get would be OBJ because we don't know how healthy he is. And if he's looking for $20 million, then what the hell you cut? What the hell you cut Corey Davis for? Now, you would think Odell Beckham is a better receiver, but you need a big blocking guy. Yes, you have Denzel Mims, but you want somebody that can go out there and block at a high level, but also provide you that down the field, you know, stuff. We don't know what OBJ has, but you listen, they had signed OBJ. I wouldn't be upset. They still have guys like Vincent Smith. I forgot his name. Vincent Smith. I mean, they got rid of one, or Jeff Smith is one of them. They got two of them. I think one of them is gone, but that's really what it's for. It's for to be able to have some continuity. Now he want to come to the Jets because of that young core, and the young core is Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. Nobody's going to impede on those guys, reps,
development, progress.
But, yeah, but they're not there to take reps away. They're there to be a compliment. As you know, when you see like the Kansas Cities of the world that went through like eight receivers, rather with Juju Smith being hurt, rather it was Kadarius Toney, rather it was Harmon that was hurt the entire year. Rather, it was the rookie that they got from Central Michigan. I don't know why I can't get his name out. You know,
Sky Moore.
Yeah, Sky Moore. Like, you're going to go through a bunch of receivers as well, so you can't depend on all your receivers, you know, being up the whole year. So you got to get some added quality depth so that you don't have the production, you know, falling off where it puts so much pressure on the run game and you can't be able to get the run game going because they're stacking the box.
So as you pointed out, what Aaron Rodgers is looking for are teachers. Guys who have played in the system, they know Nathaniel Hackett, so they know what he's going to be running. They had success with it. Remember, they were 26-6 in two seasons with that system. So the point is, when everybody right now that are looking at that Russini list of demands from well, not demands, but what he would like to have them add to the roster, is he trying to get everybody $25 million a year? No. That's not, it ain't about that. It's about bringing some teachers, guys who know the system, so we aren't chasing this season. Like you heard Rick say it this morning. It's a small window. This ain't a big window. This is a, like when Brady went to the Bucks, win now. This is it. You're going to hit the ground and it's time to win. And so that's why you want to get players who understand the system. It's not so they can play over the young guys. It's that they can help them. Is that, all right, I'll get some reps early, but by the time you get it all, I won't have to play at all. I won't even have to play. And that's what you want. That's so, again, we're trying to get everybody to understand this. Before we all start freaking out and we all start getting mad because Aaron Rodgers is being high maintenance and that he's making these demands, and the Jets are jumping through hoops, all for him to then just pull the plug and say, I don't feel like going anyway. Like, we're all making those jokes, and go ahead and make them, because at the end of this thing, those jokes will be silenced. This is how you put pieces together when you intend to win. And he is at that point where he had talked to them, and they had their meetings together, and they were like, here's what we can do for you. What else do you need? And he said, well, I'll tell you what. I need this, 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 and this. All right, well, we got to move some money. We've got to move some players. And we've got to talk to all these people and make all this stuff work. That's going to take a couple of days. All right, that's fine. Like, that's how this works. This is not a wave the magic wand and everything gets done. Because he might not restructure based on whatever the hell they got or didn't get. You got to think about it that way as well. Bart, if they are like, look, we signed all these guys. This is what it cost us. So now we got to restructure you to fit into what we've got left.
And he said he was willing to do that. Remember,
and that's what you have to understand, is that is how this works. So I get that many Jets fans get – you have fear. You have anxiety. And I understand it because normally your franchise isn't run this smoothly. But this right now is a process of pieces that have to fit together based on a plan. Larry, I'm going to use this phrase. There's a method to the madness. And the method is bringing in players who understand the system, that understand Rodgers and how he operates and everything he wants and demands. They are here to supplement what they already have in talent on that offense. And it's allowing this to become a well-oiled machine sooner rather than later, so that they can have success by the end of the season and have a chance to do something that none of us can even fathom. None of us who are around to see them do much more than just what Bart's team did is get to consecutive AFC championships, because those 2 years were the greatest 2 years in this franchise history. There was a great 1 year, and that was winning a Super Bowl. But consecutive years, nothing greater than getting to two back-to-back consecutive AFC championship games. That's as good as it's got here, everybody. But if you want to dream even bigger, it isn't just sign Rodgers and everybody shut up and everybody be happy. No, it is put the pieces together that fit the plan, put the plan in place, and then execute said plan. That's what this is about.
Yeah, just imagine the team that I was part of. Great offensive line, great run game, tremendous defense. Okay, the Jets have – imagine – the team that I was on with all those pieces and Peyton Manning was our quarterback.
Or Brett Favre was still there.
Right. Or Phillip Rivers was our quarterback.
Yeah.
Or Ben Roethlisberger was our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
essentially – and we were able to take a rookie to two yeah. AFC championships.
And get one step from the yeah one step
and
from
you're telling me this team is built like that team. If Becton comes back and he's healthy, if they spend a draft pick on a offensive yeah. lineman,
everybody's got to be invested.
You already have a otherworldly left guard slash mm-hmm. right guard slash right tackle in Vera Tucker, who should come back easy because it wasn't a knee or a back, it was a bicep or tricep or pec. And you have a Pro Bowl left guard already in Langton Thomason. So you already got two basically all pros there. Becton comes back and be what he used to be, and Dwayne Brown's there, and then you're working in a rookie. Come on, man. What am I missing? Outside of the Dustin Keller of the world, they got a Tim Tebow type dude that play quarterback that comes in that's gonna come in and he can get the hell knocked out of him for fourth and one, and nobody cares.
You talking about Strebler?
Yes.
Strebler,
go out there and take a concussion for the team. Got it, coach. We need fourth and one. I'll die for this yard. Yeah, that's what I like.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls more on this again. Breezy in the truck has a very interesting observation here. Go ahead, Breezy.
Yeah, Alan, the only thing this sounds like is the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie all over again.
Breezy.
Aaron Rodgers bringing in these players. They're not going to win nothing. They couldn't win nothing in Green Bay.
Breezy, tell me this, Breezy. First of all, they won 13 games.
They were 26 Breezy. And 6 in two Breezy. Seasons.
Tell me this. 26 and 6. That's it. No Super Bowl. Breezy. No, Breezy. The only thing that came out of that was.
Hey, Breezy, tell me this, Breezy.
Aaron. I'm listening, Breezy. Bart. I'm listening.
Who the hell are they trading? Tell me that.
What
because
mean,
the Nets. No, because the Nets traded everybody.
No.
The Nets traded their core.
It ain't about the trade. It's about the doing with the play. You pro player. You always gonna paint a narrative.
Breezy, you're saying it's like the Nets. The Nets got rid of Allen, LeVert, Dinwiddie.
No,
they are not breaking up the core. They're enhancing the core.
Without getting, I'm talking about
What Breezy's saying, I get what you're saying, and thanks for the call. What
for bringing in two players.
player empowerment and letting him run the show and all that stuff. And he doesn't like it, and he thinks that's going to spin out of control.
Was it out of control when Peyton Manning did it? Was it out of control when Tom Brady did it? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, no, I know.
They're not subtracting from the core. They're adding to the depth of the team.
Yeah. All right, let's get some
more
calls.
The Nets broke it all down. They took away that team that was the Nets' love.
Right. They took away what you love. And actually, they've become that again. What they did was they brought themselves back to being that little engine that can – That I think is a lot more appealing. Eric is in Plainfield. Eric.
Hey, gentlemen. Bart, you touched on it earlier when you mentioned how, you know, the whole town changed when Brady went to Tampa Bay. And I can feel the energy here. I'm in New Jersey. I can feel the energy in New York. And I just see a whole bunch of Jets jerseys and hats and everything out. But the injury bug, Bart, like, you know, he'll come here. He'll bring all his people with him. And all it takes is one injury. And a good example of that is Stafford. You know, Stafford won a championship, and then that team just disappeared.
Would you take a championship, though, Eric?
What happened?
Wouldn't you take that one championship, though, Eric? Wouldn't you take that one championship? You would take that. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. We got the one championship. Yeah. Right?
That's... They're not gutting their future draft picks for
right.
Aaron Rodgers. They're not even giving
rebuild.
Up a first-round draft
Thank you,
pick.
Eric. Yeah, I'm hearing that fear.
What I'm saying.
You're hearing that fear out of fans, Bart. Man, you could just hear it. They're so concerned about what can go wrong. But this is what it feels like when you're all in, baby.
Yeah,
you're all in.
Right. They try and equate it to stuff that is not the same.
It's not.
Matthew
Let's go to
Stafford,
Scott.
They still ain't got a first-round draft pick in 2 years because they got to send it to the Lions.
Let's go to Scott.
They're not doing none of that.
Scott Manhattan, what's up, Scotty?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Listen, I'm a Giant fan, and I'm not knocking the Jets, but the narrative that you guys are painting is just totally like nothing can go wrong. Everything is Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's going to fit the system. Everything's going to fall into place. And I think that, and I understand what you're saying, Harless, and I mean, I'm around a lot of Jet fans, and some people have a little reservations. And it says he's coming in, and if this guy's acting like this now, you guys know Aaron Rodgers. You know he can be, you know, saying funny
like
sometimes.
What?
Do you think he's
Has he not performed? He hasn't missed games, and he has performed at a high level. I don't understand what you – this is not Kyrie. This is not a guy that's just going to say, I don't feel like playing for a month.
This is not Kyrie, a guy that goes sit in a cave and meditate.
No, he sat on a cave on his personal time.
He was an MVP 2 years in a row.
No, Scott, let me talk to Scott. He went and sat in a cave on his off-season time.
Right.
How many games has Aaron Rodgers missed in 5 years?
What happened with
No. Scott, answer my question.
Missed in 5 years?
I asked you a question. How many games have you missed in 5 years?
No, a little less than nothing.
Right. Okay, yeah, Scott. Yeah, yeah. Scott, 400 days ago, what was Aaron Rodgers' title?
Yeah, yeah.
MVP. Right, so I don't understand. Well, how is it? What are we talking about? And you go out and get a quality backup like Jacoby Brissett so that the ship don't sink if he gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So how do you not go for it? If the Jets didn't go for it, you would say, "What the hell are you doing?"
I don't understand.
Listen, I've broken
Chips
down everybody's
to the middle
argument,
of the table, baby.
Will somebody come up here with a legitimate argument about why? Like talking about why he's acting like this. He's under contract. He can't speak about being the Jets quarterback if he's under contract with the Green Bay Packers.
Saying, I think the pushback now is about Diana's tweet and report that he gave the Jets. These are names that I want you to bring in. And I think
have the wish list.
But wait, never mind that. Bart, is it a demand or is it a response to a question of what do you need from us?
Right.
Like the idea that he's making a demand is your assumption that he sat down with them and said, well, I'm not going anywhere unless you do this.
He was asked a question.
Or maybe they said to him, which I'm guaranteed. I'll tell you what, I was not in that meeting, as you know. But I can guarantee you that one thing that Woody Johnson and Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh probably said to him or asked of him was this. What do you want from us? What can we do for you? And he said, well, if you're asking, give me this, this, and this. I think these guys can help us. You get these guys in here, and they can help us get this system all understood and everything. Like that, I guarantee you, was brought up. So the notion that this list is a demand is ridiculous.
Right. And those are the same guys that he told Green Bay that he wanted to retain.
That's a good
resign.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Ain't nothing new. He told Green Bay the same damn thing.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
At Outback Steakhouse, your wish is our command. Backed by popular demand, steak and lobster at a special price starting at $19.99. Come enjoy our bold center-cut sirloin seasoned with our signature blend of 17 spices and paired with a buttery, succulent lobster tail. Hurry in to Outback Steakhouse where your steak and lobster wishes come true at a price you can't miss. Steak and lobster, starting at $19.99. No rules, just right.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We got some very interesting breaking news from Adam Schefter from the Giants perspective. Okay. You're a Giants fan. You want to hear it. Like, this is one now where you like your eyebrows go like, oh, okay. So, Adam Schefter reporting the Giants are acquiring from the Raiders tight end Darren Waller. Yo, I mean, you just added a stud now to that offense.
And listen,
a stud.
We talked about
how about that pickup for that offense?
And I told you, it's not any stud receivers really that the Giants will be able to get within this draft, you know, that's going to come in and produce. Darren Waller is a tight end by trade, but he's Jason Kelce. He's Travis Kelce. He's Mark Andrews. He's a guy.
He's at that level. Yeah, he's a high. Yeah, he's obviously among the elite in the league in tight ends.
And he got paid a lot of money, right?
It's interesting that the Raiders would move on from him after moving on from Carr. They move on from him in a system where you think like Josh McDaniels comes from a place where they were always two tight end system. I mean, that's what they were all about.
No, not all the time. Not under the Randy Moss era. They weren't. So, listen, they've had many identities in New England.
All right.
And this is what this is telling me. It's telling me that they're going to spread everybody out. Renfrew is one of the best slot receivers in the game. You got the best receiver in the game, Devontae Adams, on the outside. Yeah. And now you have Jakobi Meyers, who's a guy who's capable of 1,000 yards and being a deep threat receiver as well.
And they got okay.
And they got Josh Jacobs. So that means now you're out there in your nickel package. And now you got a dime backer out there and not two linebackers. And now they can play power run game as well because now they got you spread out. Right. So basically they're trying to become like a version of like the Barry Sanders, Wayne Fox run and gun type of spread you out and run power run game like Chip Kelly did as well when they were in with Shady McCoy.
That's an interesting
So it
one,
makes sense, guys. But this is huge for the Giants.
Yeah.
It's huge for the Giants because now – you put him there, and you go out, and you got Rondell – not Rondell Moore. I don't know why I said
Wondell
that.
Robinson.
Rondell Robinson. Rondell Moore's in Arizona. Rondell Robinson, and now you got the irky jerk slot guy. And, you know, Waller lines up at the Z receiver or the X at times as well. So now you can still go draft one of those receivers, but all the pressure won't be on them as well.
To deliver, obviously.
And listen, for the Raiders as well, you know, this may save them some money. Mm. And now they can go out and get a guy. Because remember, Waller was paid like Andrews and paid like Travis Kelce. Now it's the second level of that. And the second level of that is Goddard or Schultz, who the Dallas Cowboys haven't issued a contract yet. And Dalton Schultz is a pretty damn good – or Gesicki from Miami.
Right.
I'm waiting to see where Gesicki goes because he's a beast as well, Jersey product.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's continue with your calls.
And all it cost was a third-round draft pick for everybody out there, what it cost the Raiders. I mean, what it cost the Giants. Only a third-round draft pick.
All right, let's go to Chris, who's at work. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
I just wanted to say, you know, I completely agree that there's no way that this is a demand from Aaron Rodgers. I would say, you know, you ask a simple question, you get a simple answer. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes to overcomplicate everything with Rodgers just because of who he is in the media. Now, if you also think about it, I mean, Chris Dreveler is not a bad backup quarterback to have. You know, he's pretty decent, the
I
guy.
Mean, you got Zach Wilson. I'm not going with Chris Dreveler as
no,
my QB,
No, I think
too.
Jacoby Brissett, and they'll keep Joe Flacco, too. Listen.
What?
They're going to keep Joe Flacco.
Why would they keep Joe Flacco if they have Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson's not going to be up. He's going to be the third receiver. You look at Dreveler as a guy like
practice squad that you just bring on when you need him?
He's like Ray Lucas. He's a guy that's going to be your quarterback, but he's going to play special teams and contribute, probably be the up back on the team.
By the way, it's funny how
Brad
thanks
Smith
for the call,
the
Chris. It's funny how Aaron doesn't have any demands or any requests about quarterback room.
Yeah, he's like, I'm good.
Like, I'm good there. We don't need anybody in the quarterback room. Noel in the car. Noel.
Guys, how you doing?
Good.
Great. Listen, I called earlier last week, and we talked about this Aaron Rodgers thing and the Jets fans, you know, being scared. Listen, I want to compare it to, like, Armageddon. You know, I'll give you a metaphoric example. When he went to go drill, you know, in space, he put together his own team, right?
Yep.
He brought guys. He didn't use the Army people. He used his own team, people he knew he could depend on. Now, we have a team assembled already that's going to be complimentary, but he's coming here to take care of business, right? And he wants to know – you know, he has people he's comfortable with, and like you said, Bart, can teach the system to everybody else. So I'm excited, and like I told you last week, if they got him, I was buying season tickets. As soon as I heard Lazard being brought in, I bought my season tickets this morning, because as soon as Aaron Rodgers signed, they're going to quadruple. Now, one more thing I want to ask you. I got my 6-year-old daughter in the car. She just wants to say hi before you cut me off. Go ahead. Say hi, Bart and Han.
Hi, Bart and Han.
Right,
yeah,
guys.
We got Aaron. Daddy's going to be happy. That means victory ice cream for you every single week.
Every Monday you get ice cream when the Jets win. Every Monday.
Yeah!
I'm talking about Aaron doing it for the kids.
Yeah, that's how we do it. Ralph's in Edison. Ralph, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right.
Good.
So I called yesterday. It's funny because I said, relax. You know, this guy's coming. But now here we are. We're talking about Aaron and – it seems like we already got him, but we don't officially.
Right. That's what it feels like.
But real quick, I just want to mention, like, about the wish list. I think it makes sense, right? What Bart mentioned about, you know, teaching these guys and teaching the offense and things like that. But I think out of that full list, I have to say I'm really against OBJ. As far as obviously he has the talent, you know, it wouldn't hurt to get a guy like that on our team. But at the end of the day, there's two questions, right? It's one, his health. How long is he going to hold up? Mm-hmm. Two is, for me, it's the locker room, right? You already had the issue with Elijah Moore and, you know, how you were winning and he was complaining about not getting enough touches. So no. I think bringing OBJ,
hey, Ralph,
you have to choose between him and OBJ at this point, right? Moore and OBJ.
Hey, Ralph, see, the thing is with Elijah Moore is because he had cussed out LaFleur, and LaFleur wasn't putting him in the game. The touches was because he was giving all his touches to Braxton Berrios, and he would put him in the game, and he was just blocking, or he would put him in there on dummy routes or ghost stuff. All the things that he had been successful for the week before, that showed us a lack of maturity by LaFleur taking it personal, by making it personal with LaFleur. That's why I believe they moved on from him, because he acted like he was a player. Not a coach. Coach can't take because a player cuss you out or they disagree with you. You can't take it personal and affect the team. You mean to tell me you think Braxton Berrios is a better receiver than Elijah Moore? So that was about that. And anybody that's ever played with OBJ or been around OBJ has said he's a great teammate. And so you're not asking him as far as his health. Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, you're not asking him to come in and be that guy. This guy was on his way to winning the MVP in the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl. And guess what? He wasn't the main guy. Who was the main guy? Cooper Kupp. So that's going to take two guys away from you. Then who's the other guy? It was Jefferson. He was the third guy. So you mean to tell me you don't want OBJ working on the third best corner that a team has to offer? why wouldn't you want that if all we're talking about is money?
And as long as you can fit it all together, that's the part of it, is what money is he
looking
for?
The person that might have to take the sacrifice is Quinnen Williams saying, hey, I'll do my extension next year because I recognize that we're going for it.
Right. And that's another part of the business that you have to deal with and have to know. That's where I'm talking about when I say that for Joe Douglas, there's a game plan. He has to execute the game plan. You don't go into this blind. You don't go into this and just say, well, we'll figure it out. No, you go into this having meetings and discussing and having a game plan. And then when you sit down with Rodgers, you say, here's our game plan. What do you need from us? Okay, you need all that? All right, let's see what we can put together and try to get this thing done. And his answer probably is, all right, once you get it all figured out, get back to me. They got back to him. And then he's like, all right, get it all done, and then we'll do us.
Yeah,
and that'll be the end of that.
And
that's where this is headed, everybody. That's where it's going. The end game is Aaron Rodgers. The final piece is him. And you're all waiting for him to say he's coming. But that piece doesn't fit until the rest of the pieces are in place. That's just how it has to go.
I mean, what if Aaron Rodgers says, you know what? I know I wanted these pieces. Here's the extension. Here's $10 million back off my annual. I just want to win a Super Bowl.
You have no idea.
That's what Tom Brady did. He already said that he knew he's going to have to make adjustments in his in his salary, in his deal.
He said that in his interview, right?
Right. So, like, that's you going to tell me I'm going to give you money back and you ain't going to buy the pieces or at least consider the pieces that I gave my money back for you to get?
And as I said, this is not a demand, everybody. He did not make demands. Let's get this clear. Aaron Rodgers didn't hand the Jets a list of demands. He responded to a question that I promise you they made. And that question is something people ask in negotiations all the time, especially when you want to get something done. What do you need from us? That's simply what it was. What do you need from us? Well, since you asked, and there's the list. That's a response. It is not a demand.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Is it time to change your approach and switch to Air Supra, albuterol budesonide? Now you can virtually connect with a doctor to discuss your options and see if it's time to make a change. If appropriate, you may even be able to get a prescription for Air Supra the same day. Talk to a doctor today and see if Air Supra is right for you. Visit airsupraconnect.com to connect with a provider.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's all happening right here at 98.7 ESPN. You do not want to change the channel because news is coming fast and furious. So the Giants making a very big move. Schefter reporting, Darren Waller, the tight end. Yeah, that guy. One of the best in the league. Coming to the Giants. Big pickup for them. Jets still waiting, obviously, on the official news of Aaron Rodgers. But what we do know is His response to them has been to get some players in here that he's comfortable with. Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, you know, Mercedes Lewis, and he also would like to see Odell Beckham Jr. as part of the team as well. We'll see if the Jets can get all that done. But tonight, Bart, we have the Knicks and the Blazers to finish off this road trip, four-game road trip. They're 1-2 right now. They can make it even and head home. I'm on the call on MSG Network tonight with Mike Breen. Of course, we have full coverage tonight on 98.7 ESPN. It's an up late kind of situation. But they're playing Cam Reddish. And Cam Reddish talked to the Daily News earlier this week about his time with the Knicks, which was basically a year. They traded for him, brought him in. He didn't play a ton for Tom Thibodeau. And he played a little bit early in the season. And then when Tom Thibodeau went to the rotation where he cut it down to nine players, Cam Reddish was not part of that. Neither was Evan Fournier, neither was Derrick Rose. But, you know, the Knicks were very successful since that. They have been very successful since that. It's hard to deny it. I mean, the lineup that he has used and the way he has used it has resulted in a 30-17 record over the last 47 games. It's the fifth best winning percentage since that time in the NBA. It's the third most wins in that time. You can't argue with it. So Reddish was asked by the Daily News about his experience. And he felt like he was part of a political debate between the front office and the coach. Because he said it was political why he was benched. He said it's all favoritism. And there was also, he felt like there was no margin for error. He said, I can shoot a shot, and in New York, I feel like I had to make it. I know I'm not the only person that felt like that. I was putting too much pressure on myself. Now, he means in Portland, I can relax and play my game. He said, the more I'm on the court, the more I'm going to grow and play, and I'm happy. Well, that's good that he's happy. But he talked about how there's a less intense atmosphere in Portland. So, Bart, listen to this. He said, it's real positive around here. Win, lose, or draw, it's not somebody beating you over the head. He said, that's more my style.
Yeah,
what do you read when you hear something like that? What are you reading out of that?
I mean, we all knew that, you know, reportedly Tibbs didn't want the trade to happen, but the upper management made the decision to bring him over. So, you know, he feels like – I understand what he says. It's like he felt like he didn't have a margin of error. Cause sometimes you got to have a guy that's willing to stand on the table for you and allow you to work through your failures. And, you know, he had a couple good games at the start of the season. They were playing him, and then he was right back on the bench. And, you know – it was clear that they were trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
Yep.
And, you know, it was best for all sides, you know, to be able, especially when you decided to empower Tibbs. When you said, okay, we're going to do the team that you want.
Yep.
Then, of course, you it's going to be somebody that's going to be that's going to get the brunt and going to have that perspective. That just happens in anything. Whenever you make choices, it's always somebody's feelings that's going to get hurt. You just try and be transparent with them and wish them well and try and do the best thing for them. And sending him to Portland, a team that wanted him, that's going to allow him to shoot the ball, was the best play. So it's one of those things where he may not like his experience here in New York, but when he looks back, and like I said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. When he looks back, he'll say, okay, this was important. I'm glad that they did this because the opportunity in Portland may have dried up if they would just try to hold on to me and bury me on the bench. And now I can continue to work on my value. Because I think he is a good player. We all know he's talented, but sometimes you have to have these failures and setbacks to be able to achieve your true greatness and his full potential, which we believe that he's underachieving because he hasn't matured and grown up enough. You know, I remember, and I go back.
He hasn't reached his full potential, Bart. That's the thing. He's got some potential, but he's been so inconsistent.
He was
inconsistent with the Knicks. 30 minutes a game now he's playing, getting 13 points a game.
Yeah,
he started 11 of the 13 games so far.
You get in a groove.
So is there such a thing as a trade working out for both teams?
It always is.
Like, that's what you want. Josh Hart's a perfect fit here. He's been tremendous on this team, and he's a way better fit than Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish goes to a team where he's going to play and get an opportunity. So can't we just walk away from this going, hey, you know what? Worked out for everybody. Great.
And I go back to Cam Reddish and, like, kind of his journey for me is like Chauncey Billups. Because I am a Pistons fan. Chauncey Billups was a high draft pick that went out to Denver. He went out to Denver, struggled, went out to Boston. You know, and he got to a place where they allowed him to develop and grow. And Larry Brown did a good job in being able to speak to him in a language that he understands and at a pace that he understands. The problem and the issue is that sometimes you go to places where their speed and where they're going about business doesn't have time to wait for your development and your maturity and your maturation. And that's always tough because he was brought in as a guy that was supposed to come in and bring all the scoring and everything that people saw when he was at Duke.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, you know, he's going to a place where the noise is softer too. Right. Because, you know, even though Portland at the time when he was playing here was probably, you know, considered the same type of situation as the Knicks, maybe even a better one. But the Knicks, is so much pressure here because every day, every game is scrutinized. I'm sure Portland can go on a three-game losing streak and nobody even mentioned it.
Well, they have. They literally have. And it's just –
and nobody's probably even mentioned it.
Exactly. So tonight, the Knicks and the Blazers, they'll see Cam Reddish tonight. You see Dame Lillard tonight. MSG Networks, I'm on the call. We have full coverage, 98.7 ESPN. And, Bart, then the road trip ends for me. And all I got to say is, Stephanie, I'm coming home. See you tomorrow.
It's the Power Hour.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.